Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everybody. We have another great topic tonight, the language of dreams. We all want to know about dreams and what they mean. I know I remember my dreams, and I think maybe they'll talk about a little bit about, does everybody dream? I mean, do you really remember your dreams? And tonight I have my two awesome hosts. I have Stars James and Stars Dragon Spirit here with me tonight. And we have our usual regulars in they're talking about snow in the room. Ha ha, no snow here. We have our regulars. Candy just disappeared, but she was in the room. And we have Stars Aeneas and Stars Mystical Waters and Stars Ruby Ann. And so we're already filling up in there. And, you know, this topic is unusual. You know, are they important? Is it your subconscious mind telling you what's going on way down inside? You know, what needs attention and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm going to pass this along to Stars James, and he can get the show started.
Well, hello. Thank you, Natalie. Hello, this is Stars James. I just want to welcome everyone to the show. We're very glad that you're here listening in. This is a show about dreams. I'm actually really excited because one of my first mystical trainings, if you will, or one of my first mentorship or classes that I took related to the spiritual life was associated with dreams and what dreams have to tell us. So it has always held a very special place in my heart, because even though I was intuitive, when it came to the time in my life where I was being mentored and these gifts were actually being more focused on in an intentional way, this was one of the first avenues. It was kind of like my gateway drug into the mystical. So I'm very excited. I do want to mention first really quick, Natalie mentioned who was in the room. I wanted to mention that my co-host today is Stars Dragon Spirit on the website www.starspsychics.com, and that's Stars with a Z. I will be referring to her on the show as Cheyenne, so I'll be using her first name. But if you're interested in what she has to say, or you kind of like the direction that she's going or her energy, that is where you can find her on the website. And then I am Stars James on the website, and I will be referred to as James on the show. This is a show where you're able to call in. So if you have a dream that you'd like to share, we probably will not be specifically interpreting dreams, but if you have had an experience with dreams and you would like to share that experience, please feel free to call in. This is a call-in show where you are able to call in. The number that you can call is 347-838-9736. And just to get started, I would like to, first of all, I just want to give you my little introduction about, you know, I had mentioned that this was one of the first avenues that I had taken in terms of understanding how spirit speaks to us and how we can connect to the mystical aspect or the spiritual aspect of our lives. And my training was with John Paul Jackson. I had went through an extensive training course in learning. First of all, we learned the archetypal language of dreams, and then we also learned the different types of dreams that you can have. Now, the list that I have, and I did want to mention this just in the introduction, is different than what I learned in the school of dreams with John Paul Jackson, because I have personally, I feel like. My personal belief is not necessarily the same as what I learned when I was in that school. This is my belief system. Even though I did the teachings by John Paul Jackson were certainly a catalyst to understanding the prophetic nature of dreams and the psychic nature of dreams. So these are my categories. You may have different categories. This is by no means set in stone, but this is how I understand my own dreams, and this actually might help you understand your dreams. So the first category that I have is the healing dream, and to me that is a reconciling dream. Meaning that there is something in our lives that needs to be, you know, internally that needs to be reconciled or brought back into a place where we are in a state of conscious connection with the divine or a mystical connection. So that's really the first category that I have. The second category that I have is the inspirational dream, and there's many different examples of inspirational dreams. Oftentimes, great works of literature are influenced by these types of dreams, and these bring inspiration. These help us move forward, and they work as kind of like the spark that gets things moving. The encounter dream, and this is when there's a specific encounter with a spiritual entity within the context of your dreaming state. So your subconscious is aware of the spiritual dynamic that is going on in this world and of course, you know, outside, in this universe, I guess that's a better way of saying it, is aware of psychically aware of that dynamic of the spirit realm, and it's an encounter with a spirit entity. And then the prophetic dream. And a prophetic dream is the psychic dream where you have a dream that is associated with an event of the future. And there's many examples throughout history. And I have my own personal examples of these, all of these as well. The fifth category that I would like to mention briefly is the dream that has no meaning. These are oftentimes referred to as the pizza dreams. And these dreams don't exist. So we're not going to – well, I personally do not believe they exist, so I'm not going to talk about these anymore. But this is often, it's very funny, but we live, especially in the psychic arena and the metaphysical arena, we have, we believe that there is significance in the world around us and in action and in the things around us. But then oftentimes we write off as, oh, well, that was just a pizza dream. It wasn't really significant. And I do not believe that any dream that we have lacks significance. So that was my fifth category, and I am crossing that one off right now. Cheyenne, you can pick it up if you'd like to and say that is a category that actually exists. But for me, it does not. And then if you have a different category or an idea, please go ahead and share those. I'm going to pass it on to you. That was just kind of my introduction. How do you feel about those particular categories, or would you have more to offer? Would you combine some of the categories? Just what are your insights on what are dreams, essentially?
Okay, first off, thanks to everybody who's coming and listening and helping in a chat room and so forth, and Natalie for hosting you, James. As for myself, yes. I used to break them down into the different categories. And at some point, I stopped breaking them down because I just noticed that these dreams that people have will go in stages depending on what point they are in their life, what point are they in their spirituality growth, and so forth and so on. I believe that all dreams exist for a reason. I do not believe, in my personal belief, that there's a dream that has no meaning. I believe if that dream is there, your subconscious or the universe or spirit or your guides, someone is placing that dream there. First, I would like to say as well that there is no universal definition rule book. Different people have different interpretations of different meanings of dreams. And two, this can break down insofar as depending on your culture, depending, you know, if you're religious as well as spiritual, or if you're just spiritual and this is what it means to you. How can I explain that better? It'd probably be like me saying, okay, James, if you dream of a lizard, it just means that you dreamt of some reptile during your dream. But yet if I looked at the Native American side of me, it would mean dream time. So there's a comparative thing to it. But I believe all dreams exist for a reason. There's some kind of letters or meanings or somebody or something wanting you to know something. I don't think that there is a definite rule book, because I have learned throughout my life, throughout, you know, my growth, my different stages and so forth, my guides, especially in the beginning, contacted me in whatever method that I was most open to and received and understood the easiest. And like you, my dreaming was extremely lucid. I would dream all the time. And I kept a log from a very, very young age. And I noticed, believe it or not, that I could compare to what I was dreaming and how I felt to something that I would be experiencing or that I went through in the physical, and I would have the same feeling on the inside as I did when I had the dream. You know, in earlier we were talking about Poe, and Poe said this part, you know, all that we see or seeing is nothing but a dream, but within a dream. And I had somebody one time ask me, you know, they said, well, how come, you know, what if it was the opposite way around? Our conscious life is the dream, and when we dream is our reality, which threw kind of a thing in my head. So I started following up on that path, too, as well, and started looking into that. Because if one dream can exist, why can't many dreams exist? I believe that people, when they dream whatever it is that they are needing at that time, as we were saying. If there is something in your subconscious or your higher self or your guides or something that really needs your attention, you know, and you are a type of person who dreams and pays attention to those dreams, well, hey, what better avenue of communication? But I do believe that all dreams exist for a reason, no matter what they are or, you know, anything. And I believe that people in general, and we're talking about the general populace here, everybody, you know, there's going to be some that are going to match and say, yeah, that's what that means to me in a dream too. But for the most part, people equate it in their minds to how they can understand it or what they believe it to be to them personally. You know, like I said, the lizard might mean one thing to you and it means a different thing to me. Falling, for instance, might mean one thing to somebody else, and then the next person that's sitting right next to him talking about it is going to mean something different. So, most definitely, I always believe that it's your higher self, guide, spirit, creation in general that comes through in the dream state. And a lot of people I know, they get very upset when they don't dream. They start getting nervous. They said, okay, if I'm not dreaming, something's wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with you. I don't believe anything's wrong with you if you don't dream. That means you, you know, may have enough on your plate right now that you're dealing with. But I have also learned that some people, you know, different things during their waking state, excuse me, if they're having a difficult time dealing with it, then it's going to go to the subconscious mind, and it'll be worked out in dream state in some manner. And I know I've talked to enough psychologists. I took 2 years of psychology out in Colorado. And, you know, they say that, yeah, if you don't dream, well, you're not going to work things out. You're going to be imbalanced personality-wise and so forth. Well, I just feel that, you know, again, if you're having a problem during your waking state and you're having a hard time dealing with it, it's going to show up in your dream in some manner. So in people that don't dream, I don't think it's because there's something wrong with you. I think it's maybe because you have a lot on your plate and you are dealing with what needs to be dealt with. And with that, I'll go ahead and give it back to you, James.
Okay. There were definitely a few things. I don't want to focus on this too much, but you brought up a very interesting point about the reality that we're experiencing, that there are cultures that believe that this is possibly a dream or a dream state. I don't think you said it specifically that way, but in my studies, I've actually, you know, I've run across this several times in, like, ancient Hebraic writings, specifically related to King Solomon. There is one chapter that actually plays itself out like a dream, or not one chapter, one book of the Hebraic scripture that plays itself out as a dream state, and it's called the Song of Solomon. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting if you research that and you learn that the archetypal language that exists inside of that book, you find that at the beginning, it's a love story. It's the whole thing is a love story, and it's our love story. It's a mystical love story. So it's our love story, our individual love story, and our cumulative love story with spirit. But at the beginning of it, it says we were under the tree, and then this woman has all of these experiences. After that, about, you know, in all of these experiences were about how all of these experiences were the human journey, essentially. So it's kind of like if you think of the tarot is the fool's journey. If you're not familiar with that, we actually have a show a few weeks ago. You can go ahead and look at that show. But in the same aspect, King Solomon's Song of Solomon story brought forth all of these different dynamics of the human life. But then at the very end, it says, and then I had awakened under the apple tree in the arms of my beloved, and indicating that what all of the human experience is actually a dream. Then you have in Christian philosophy, in the Christian religion, Jesus talked a lot about faith and how if you believe something and you intrinsically believe it, you can actually alter the state of reality that you're experiencing. He said if you have enough faith, you can move a mountain. And that is the same concept as understanding that, wait a minute, we are in a dream. And so to have enough faith, you're actually just waking up and you're able to manipulate the you know, natural right. forces that are in this culture. And then I was actually first reminded of the Maitote, which is a part of the Toltec culture, and mm-hmm. they too believe that this is all just a dream, and mm-hmm. that our perception of reality is really just a dream state. And then, of course, New Age philosophy and manifestation, it's that we have the ability to intrinsically transform things through our belief system. And again, that kind of goes back to the idea that we're living in a dream state and we can alter that dream state by really all, I mean, it kind of goes with the practice of lucid dreaming. Essentially what these philosophies are saying is start lucid dreaming in the physical reality that you're in right now. Ultimately, if you boil it right down, all of the universal law that people talk about so often in the psychic and New Age philosophies, that's what they're saying. They're saying wake up right now and realize that what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're feeling has an impact on not just your life, but global events. Mm-hmm. And that if you wake up, you can actually shift the course of not just your life, but you can shift the course of the lives of the people around you. You can shift the course of even dramatic global events. Now, I do want to talk, I wanted to mention that just because I feel like it is an important part of mysticism, that you know, it is a common thread that shows up in the mystical traditions. So I wanted to bring that up because I feel like it's important. But I do want to go back to the actual dream state, the things that we experience as when we go to sleep and when we're dreaming. And I kind of want to break it down a little bit just for my sake, because these are the ones that I mentioned, the top four and then the fifth that I don't believe in, the reconciling dream, encounter dream, prophetic dream, and inspirational dreams. To me, those are not necessarily, I mean, they are certainly labels, but they're labels in a way that it helps me understand the different qualities that can show up in a dream. Now, sometimes you can have more than one quality in those things. Like, let's say you're having a healing or reconciling dream. That can actually be a prophetic dream as well. You had mentioned you kept a journal or logbook of your dreams for a long time. I feel like that is crucial to us understanding the mystical language of dreams. One thing that we have to understand too is that dreams are often very personal because they stem from our subconscious. They're on a subconscious level. Not only are they on a subconscious level, but it is the interaction that we have with spirit comes. It is the interaction of spirit with that subconscious, you know, part of us. So it is very important for us to remember that the archetypal language that shows up in dreams is usually very personal. That doesn't mean other people can't interpret your dreams. What it does mean is that, like you were saying, a lizard for you may mean something very different than a lizard for me in my dreams. So I think that is important to understand as well, is that the language itself is very personal. Mm-hmm. And you need to, first of all, you need to understand that you have to pay attention to your dreams. If this interests you, if this doesn't interest you, don't. I can tell you it is one of the major gateways in understanding spiritual ideas, and it is probably the biggest gateway that I stepped into in terms of understanding how to communicate with spirit, both in a sleeping state and in an aware state or a conscious state outside of the dreaming world. So if you have trouble communicating with spirit, I would encourage you to start writing your dreams down. If you say you don't have dreams, whatever dream you do have, write that down. Even if you only remember, I saw a snake or I saw a horse or whatever it is. Because the more faithful you are to what your subconscious is telling you, the more your subconscious will tell you. That's just the way that it works. I personally don't keep a log for my dreams anymore unless I feel like they're significant. But if I ever stopped dreaming, if I went to bed one night and I woke up the next day and I did not have a dream, I can guarantee you for the next couple of weeks I would journal every single thing, mainly mm-hmm. because, like what Cheyenne was saying, dreams are significant and important. Okay, so I want to talk briefly about the healing dream dynamic or the reconciling dream. To me, I do believe that all dreams are significant. Some of them are to bring us back into center, back into balance. If we're experiencing a tremendous amount of duality in our situation, dreams oftentimes will bring us into that state where we have conscious connection to the divine or to the spirit, and that's what the mystical tradition is all about. A lot of nightmares actually show up, actually are reconciling dreams. One thing that in our culture we are very logical. We don't pay much attention to symbols, archetypes, and we just don't pay attention to the way that spirit communicates, really. And even in religious culture, we see that most religions are fighting over their stupid books. You know, my book is better than yours. No, my book is better than yours. And that's not what spiritual connection or spiritual reality is all about. The reason why I feel that most people who experience vivid dreams in our culture today, why I feel that they are reconciling dreams is because we take in a lot more negativity through the avenue of our eyes than mm-hmm. we have in previous times. People watch horrifying things on the news. They watch horrifying things on television, and I'm not saying all people do. In fact, if you're listening in and you're one of the readers on the site, you probably don't. You may, and if you do, I would encourage you to stop doing that, because the eyes are the window to the soul, meaning that what comes into your eyes, you are transformed into. That's an innate reality in every spiritual, psychic, and mystical tradition, is that when you take things into your consciousness, you become part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I would be very careful in terms of how, you know, what kind of news you're taking in, what kind of, and it doesn't mean you don't know, but you have to understand that these images are imprinted on your mind. And that's why I feel a lot of people have nightmares, too. A lot of children have what are called night terrors. I did when I was a child as well, because we've come from a pure source. And when we're very young, if we have images that are out of alignment with that pure source, things like murder or I was reading a statistic the other day in one of Dr. Wayne Dyer's books, and I think it said something like by the time a child is 7 years of age, they will have witnessed, I can't remember, it may have, I think it was like 7,000 or 10,000. I don't remember how many murders, but 7,000 to 10,000. I know it was kind of around that range. Murders from just watching television. Murders, you know, people killing other people, violent acts of people killing other people that were portrayed in some sort of media, either through movies, television, cartoons, or whatever. And, I mean, that's a staggering amount, and I feel like I personally feel that spirit is saying today that is a result of the toxicity that we're taking in through media. And so we really need to pay attention to that. I know that's not an easy message for a lot of people, but so that's really what I feel the reconciling dreams are all about, is they bring us back from a place of duality, or a place of, really, duality is just judgment, saying, well, this thing is right and this thing is wrong. A place of duality to a place of being able to hear the spirit once again, because we are all spiritual beings on a human journey. That being said, Cheyenne, what do you think about anything that I said actually, or the healing dynamic of dreams?
There's a lot of it. I very much believe in the healing dreams. Where to start with that one? I believe in that a lot because, especially children, as you were talking about, when a child receives or is subject to a lot of things that are negative, that are very hurtful, that are very painful, that are horrific, that I believe that is why a child has these nightmares and so forth, is because, you know, again, the innocent is fighting because it's seeing this other stuff and it's not agreeing with what this child is feeling and what this child knows. And it's not just the child, this applies to adults too, but I'm just using this as an example. Anybody at any point in time in their life will have these healing dreams because of the simple fact, as you said, the eyes are the windows or the mirrors to the soul. And our eyes act like cameras. And when you may not even think you're paying attention to something or looking at something, but your eyes are seeing it and it's registering it. And at some point, somehow, that has to manifest. In some form, it's going to manifest. So I think it's very, very important, you know, what you're subjecting yourself to and so forth and so on. And again, you know, it clashes. It clashes. You know, if you're a person who is normally uplifting, upbeat, always smiling, you know, and everything else, and has this joyous type energy, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're thrown into, let's say, the middle of one of these wars, your mind is literally going to go insane because it's not making sense. You don't agree with it. It's not what you feel. It's not your vibration. So, yes, I very much believe in the healing dreams because they help you reconcile or put to rest that type of an issue. But I also believe in those dreams, say, if you have unfinished business, or let me put it a better way, you have emotions and feelings in your emotional body, you know, over a lost loved one or some other trauma. And during that dream, you can go to that person and talk to them. You can go to that person and see them, and you can resolve something from it. I think reconciling dreams are important. And it's not that I don't like categorizing them. It's just that, you know, I try to keep dreams as dreams because most of the people, you know, client-wise that I talk to, unless it's somebody that's aware, they just, you know, well, this is what I dreamed and this, blah, 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 and that's what it is. But they're not recognizing it for what it is. And I also agree with you, you know, in so far as the Song of Solomon, I know that. And, yes, it is a love story. But, see, for me, when it says, when I awakened, it's like, okay, which state did you awaken from? Which sleep did you awaken from? And Toltecs, Nahual, shamans, they very much teach on dreams and believe in the strength and the power of dreams and how it does form different things. And as you said, all of these things that we take in as human beings, as individuals, yes, it affects us personally, but yet it affects those people that are immediately around us, and then it affects the people outside of them, then it affects the people outside of them. It's kind of like that movie, Pay It Forward. That's one way I can explain it. Once you do something, it's going to have a ripple effect. It's going to have a cause and effect because of the duality. And again, you know, it depends on which awakening you're in, which dreaming. And logging is important because for a lot of people, again, this is a gateway. This is an opening, okay? And how you relate to it or how you feel about something that you've seen in that dream, that's going to be one of your keys, so to speak. So if you log and say, well, I saw this and this is how I felt, or I did this during the dream, and this is how I felt, and this is what happened, that's going to be like a little key for you. It's going to unlock a lot of doors, and it's also going to set you up for the next phase. And definitely, I agree with what you had said. When you see or feel something in a dream, confirm it. Write it down or talk to yourself out loud in the morning after you have awoken. Definitely confirm what it is that you've seen and felt. Because when you confirm what you've seen or felt, you're letting the universe know, you're letting your guides know, everybody in a spiritual vibration, you're letting them know, okay, I'm saying I saw this, and I know how it made me feel. So once you do that, they say, okay, she or he got the message, so let's keep going in that direction. I find that very important. When you are willing to confirm, when you're willing to say, okay, I know I saw it, I know I felt it, that gives you a building block. But it definitely, dreams are definitely a gateway into higher levels and into other stages of being and other stages of learning. So I definitely agree with that. And that's all I have to say. I don't want to take up a whole bunch of time on that because I know you have other ones, you know, to do. But very much so, you know, I agree.
No, that was perfect, and I'm glad that you mentioned, because I know for me, because one of my main messages to not only my clients, but I feel like this is one of the messages that I carry, is stop scaring yourself. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's important, and so I focus more on, you know, the stuff that we take in, but you mentioned a very key quality to the nature of reconciling and healing dreams. It is so that we are able to reconcile not just what we take in through media, but also interactions that we have with other people. It reconciles our emotions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that you had pointed out that I really, really liked is you had mentioned, you keep mentioning actually the significance of dreams. And I feel like I said earlier, I feel like, you know, that even in the metaphysical world, dreams are oftentimes ignored, where just in my own personal experience, I can tell you I've done this before, where I have woken up out of a dream that was a little disturbing, and I went, oh, thank God that was a dream. I can forget about it. Hello, that was inside of me. That was inside of me. That means that there is a significance and a reasoning behind what was going on. And I would say to you, if you're one of those people that have a nightmare or a disturbing dream and you wake up and you immediately go, oh, thank God, that's over and it wasn't real, I would like to encourage you not necessarily focus on the negative qualities of the dream, but find out where you're out of balance in your life. See what that dream is saying about what is out of balance in your situation, because I can guarantee you it's important. And I now, thank goodness, in my 30s now, I'm paying more attention to those times when I would normally say, oh, thank God, that was just a dream. I can let it go. I do pay more attention to the quality of the dream and what it was trying to tell me. Go ahead.
You acknowledge it.
I acknowledge it. I don't focus on the negativity, and that's another, I mean, again, I think that one thing we do, we're in a world that is held captive by a state of panic, really. I mean, it's a state of fear. And so I encourage you not to focus too much on the negative things, but it is important to understand duality. It is important to understand the shadow self so we can transcend it, so we can move beyond that. Okay, so I want to talk briefly about encounter dreams or dreams of encountering either spirit guides, angels. My personal experience with these types of dreams is I've encountered a few, not many, but a few angels in my dreams that held specific messages or brought messages of comfort to me in times of need. And then also, I have tremendous amount of contact with Jesus in my dream state. That's one of the spiritual entities as a guide that comes to me often to bring messages to me and to really bring me back to a place of sanity. I mean, I that's the best way to put it. And it kind of goes along with what I was saying, that we live in a world that is captive that is being held captive by fear. I mean, it is the product of all of our wars. It is the product of all of our, you know, our civil disrest is really this fear. I mean, Jesus actually called it the God of this world, and the God of this world is that state of panic. So, you know, these encounters, there's certainly, especially in the spiritual traditions, there are lots of examples of these encounter dreams. Joseph, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the musical Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat. There was a cartoon in ancient Hebraic literature. Joseph was one who had many dreams and was able to actually interpret other people's dreams very accurately as well. That's one example historically of these types of dreams of encounter. Daniel was another one who had, in the ancient Hebraic writings, that had encounters with spirit beings and dreams. Joseph was interesting because Joseph had all of these types of dreams that we're mentioning today. There are actually, if you read the story of Joseph, he actually had each one of these specifically. The prophetic and encounter dream for Joseph would probably be kind of coupled together, because oftentimes they were both prophetic and encounter dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Another encounter dream was before Jesus was born, an angel came to Mary. And then when Mary realized that she was pregnant, in that time frame, what would happen is if someone was pregnant outside of wedlock, they would be stoned, they would be killed. And so Joseph, her husband-to-be, actually had an encounter with an angel as well that said, take Mary out of this place that you're living at right now, and you know, I want you to raise Jesus as your son, etc. What was Buddha's mother's name? Do you know? Siddhartha's mother?
Give me a second.
Mahamaya. Queen Mahamaya. Yes. The queen, the great queen. Uh-huh. Anyway, she, before Buddha was born, she had encountered what we would consider angels. In that culture, they called them devas.
Right.
But she encountered, I think, seven devas. It was seven. Okay.
Yeah.
She encountered seven devas, which were angels that came to her and kind of explained who Buddha would be or who Siddhartha would be. Before he became the Buddha, and what the nature of his life would bring to the planet. So that's another specific encounter related to dreams. And do you have more examples, or do you have any specific encounters that you have had in a dream state?
Just a couple things I want to add. And this is kind of interesting because a lot of things that I shared now on Facebook yesterday and today, and what a couple of other people in stars they shared, all of it starting to tie together. And this one, you know, Lori Driscoll had put a post up, and I had made a comment on hers. When I was younger, and to this day, but during the major splurts of different growth in different areas that I was going into, I have four specific guides. My ascended master guys, I worked with it a lot, but deep I mentioned for a reason. I was constantly woke up between exactly 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning. And I had one separate room that I had set off is what you would call your healing room or meditation room or however you wish to term it. For me, from the time I was small, it's been flowers. And I was guided by my guides to set this room up, and in this room, in the center of it, would always be a huge bouquet of flowers and would have two candles, one on either side. They would wake me up every single night between 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and sometimes, consciously, I wouldn't remember doing it, but they would have me write something on a piece of paper to leave there, so that when I got up in the morning, after going back to sleep, I would go into the room and see the piece of paper and read it and know exactly what it meant. But most of the time when they woke me up, I would go straight to that room. I mean, you know, I would be in like what some people would call a twilight sleep. And I would go straight to that room and I would sit there and I would see them. see them sitting around in front of me and talking to me and telling me different things. And as I said, you know, at first, when it first started happening, I wouldn't hear anything. I just kept getting visions of what's put in there and visions of, you know, different things. But as I said, even on the times, and I'm not a sleepwalker, but even on the times that I would get up in the morning and I did not remember, there would be a piece of paper. And to this day, I use index cards. Einstein used to do that, but I use index cards to write things down that I want to remember that are important, but it gets it out of my mind and gets it onto a piece of paper so it makes more room for other things. But point being is there would always be a message on there, and as soon as I read it, I knew what the message was. And it was like, okay, I know I was in here because this piece of paper is here, and that's my handwriting. So I very much believe in encountering dreams and so forth. And I met many people during the course of my life. They'll say, well, you know, I felt somebody pushing me, but I opened my eyes and I didn't see anybody waking me up. But yet they felt that somebody was there. So definitely, I definitely believe in those type of dreams, and I believe that they come to you for a reason. You may not understand it at the time. There may be nothing said to you at all. You may have just the feeling. And again, we're going back to the logging. You know, when you first wake up, before you do anything, put on a house coat, whatever, have something sitting beside you and just write down how you felt or how you feel when you first wake up or what it is that you remember. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a complete line. But there are a lot of times that you will have encounters and have different beings from the spiritual world come to you because at that time, everything electrically is very low. And there's not a lot of hustle and bustle going on. So it makes it a little bit clearer for communication. But yeah, I very much agree with you when it comes to that. Those type of encounters happen all the time, and it's great when you remember them, and it's great when you have a guidepost like that to go by. So that's all I have to say. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely agree. I mean, we're kind of, you know, drilling this over and over again, but, you know, the significance of dreams and paying attention to dreams, and especially I liked what you were talking about, writing things down. Make sure that you write things down. And I wanted to mention, kind of related to that, not exactly related to that, but kind of related to that, is that dreams, oftentimes when we're remembering a dream, it comes in a way that is... It's actually what it's always reminded me of is it comes to me in the same way that when I'm doing a reading, intuitively messages from the spirit come to me, meaning that I don't usually get the full picture all at one time. It is oftentimes the same way with dreams, that's what I was talking about. If you have a dream and the only thing that you can remember is a horse, write it down. And then if something else comes up later, write that down. And it usually comes in a progressive way. So pay attention to that as well and understand. And actually, that was one of the ways that taught me how to understand how to channel spirit and how to communicate spirit messages to my clients is in the same way where I started, you know, writing down my dreams and realized that, you know, they would come to me in waves almost. Have you had that same experience where these messages actually, the remembering of dreams actually comes in waves?
Comes in waves or patches. You'll get a symbol or a picture or a word but by the time you get all of it together, it makes complete sense.
Yeah. I can remember sometimes I'll start writing down my dreams. And this doesn't happen to me as frequently now because I only really write down encounter dreams and prophetic dreams. But I have had a lot of experiences where I will start writing a dream down. I'll think, oh, this will be like two or three sentences, and instead it's like five or six pages. And it's interesting because, you know, the way that we recall things from the dream realm or from that subconscious realm is quite interesting, because we think it's all, you know, tucked together in this little neat little, you know, box, and really once we open that box, it's kind of like, you know, the clown car where just one keeps coming out, yeah, over and over, another and another. It's like, whoa, this is, you know, it's interesting how that happens. Anyway, I want to talk about the inspirational dreams. And inspirational dreams, I've had a few of these. I've not had many. In fact, the book that I'm writing right now, I'm not writing from the dream, but a dream actually encouraged me to start writing things down for the book that I'm writing. But there are several examples of people who have had dreams that have inspired them to write books, to create movies, things of that nature. Artwork. There's a lot of artwork that comes from dreams, and these I classify as inspirational. Some of the people that I can just remember offhand, I actually looked for some people, but I don't have that website pulled up anymore. But Edgar Allan Poe, that's one that most people know. I mean, it's very widely known if you paid attention in your English lit class. That his writings were oftentimes inspired by his dreams. Another one, one that I was actually quite intrigued by, and I can't think of the author's name, so if anybody in the chat room knows the author's name, please let me know. But the Twilight series was actually a series inspired, the new vampire series was actually inspired by a dream. I apologize. I don't know.
I don't know her name.
But anyway, that's okay. If you think of it, just go ahead and interject. H.P. Lovecraft was another one that was famous for writing down, having vivid dreams and then writing them down and creating literature. John Bunyan was another
Stephanie
one.
Meyer.
I'm not sure if you've ever read.
Well,
go ahead.
Stephanie Meyer.
That's her name. You're absolutely right.
I knew
okay.
I knew that name.
So Stephanie Meyer, her Twilight series that's been so popular, actually was inspired by dreams. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I think that's, Pilgrim's Progress, that was another one I wanted to mention, because that's a very, very well-known, series that is popular now. And then H.G. Wells. I don't believe that all of his books stem from dreams, but it's interesting because H.G. Wells, if you've ever read his books, are very prophetic or psychic in their explanation of things that have already come to pass, several of them. But many of his writings were actually inspired by dreams. And I my only personal experience with being inspired by a dream is mainly just recently. But have you had any experiences, or can you think of any other well-known people that have been inspired to create works of art or literature through the method of dreaming?
Well, I know Da Vinci did. Da Vinci Monet was constantly getting different palettes of colors and things flashed in his eyes, which was what he used. And at that point in time, those colors and everything weren't commonly used colors for that time period. One person that most people have heard of but may not know, Carl Sagan, that's what his journey with the universe started as. He was inspired by dreams. He would go to sleep at night. He would see all these different constellations and so forth and so on before he actually studied them for him to evolve the way that he did. That's the reason he came out with a lot of the things that he wrote in his books and so forth and so on. I've had dreams my entire life since I was a small child, and it would show me a definitive place that I was going to move, different things that were going to take place that I was to begin or to implement. And so far, I have followed every single one, and everything happened just the exact way that it was laid out. I know quite a few people who get inspirational dreams, they say they have a hard time during their waking state because they keep their minds busy with everything. They said, but they can't. They said, how am I going to interfere with my dreams? And I'm getting this dream for me to go and do this because it's going to have a very large meaning to it. So definitely, inspirational dreams are something to believe in and follow, most definitely. I didn't know, are you going to go to prophetic dreams, or did you kind of cover that with the other one?
I didn't. I would like to talk a little bit more about I did that. That's where I was going to go. I was saving that one for the last one because we did kind of cover it with the encounter dreams. But I mean, you know, encounter dreams are a little different than, to me, a little different than prophetic dreams, because prophetic dreams oftentimes are they're usually very symbolic. And that's the one thing that I, you know, and that's the one thing that I really feel like when we're talking about the language of dreams, which is the title of this show, we have to understand that dreams are symbolic. And I would encourage you to start understanding the symbols that are in your dreams. And the best way to do this is start understanding what the archetypes are around you. How do you feel? What thoughts do you have when you think of a dog or a cat or an event or a person? That's what the language of dreams is really all about. It's about understanding these archetypes that exist around you. And when you can understand those, you have a much better way of interpreting your dreams. There is some value to books. There's a lot of books out there that, you know, you can, I had a dream about, you know, a $100 bill, and you can look up the $100 bill, and it will tell you what it means. But that is not always the case.
Right.
With every individual. So I would be I'm not saying be cautious, because I think that those books actually have tremendous value for people who are just starting to learn their own archetypal language, their own how they interact with the world, how they interact with particular individuals. So it is important, you know, to learn that language, but there is value in how other people understand the language, because these archetypes are universal. These symbols are universal. Not always, but oftentimes they are. And so you may have a dream about a dog running across the street, and you'll look that up, and you're like, wow, this means, you know, this. And you could align with that. It feels right to you, and there you go. You have an interpretation of what that means. I'm just using that as an example, but or mm-hmm. you could look up the same thing. You could read about what this individual says this means, and you could go, well, wait a minute, that may mean that for them, but it does not mean that for me.
Right.
And one thing that when it comes to developing your own intuitive flow is really pay attention to how you feel about things. A lot of intuition comes through the understanding that our feelings are just as important, or our inner state, our emotions, the energy that's moving around inside of us through these chemical processes are actually very important. They tell us something. Mm-hmm. And so pay attention to that when you're actually interpreting dreams, and understand that just because it's written in a book doesn't mean that it's right for you. And I would say this not just about dreams, but I would say this about everything. If you are focusing on a book that is making you miserable, throw that sucker in the garbage and find a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important for us to align ourselves with those things that inspire us, that bring us to a higher state of understanding. So in dreams that I have had that were associated with the prophetic side, I had this dream. Let me see what time it is. Okay, I've got a little bit of time. I did have this dream a while back. I moved to Kansas City to go to a Bible school seminary. And I had a dream before I left. I was on a big boat, a big cruise ship. And this cruise ship, and I knew that this cruise ship represented not just where I was going, but it was where I was at. So it was moving. It was moving towards where I was going. And I jump off this cruise ship. I swam back to Michigan. And when I got there, everyone that was in my life when I had left was around me. And I started teaching them about the ocean. Okay. At the time, I kind of understood the dream, but after all of this happened, when Spirit, you know, plucked me back up from Kansas City, moved me back to Michigan. I understand fully what that dream means is that, first of all, the boat that I was on was, it was actually the restrictions that I had with God. You know, I was very literalistic when it came to understanding esoteric and spiritual passages and books. I mean, I was kind of a Bible-only fundamentalist. And me jumping off the boat was actually jumping from that boxed-in viewpoint of who the Holy Spirit is and who Jesus was to me. Jumping off that, swimming through the ocean, was the journey that I had after I was, and I'll just tell you what happened. I was kicked out of the Bible school that I was in, and it was a very tragic time in my life, but I swam through and I made it through, and I became actually more intuitive and more reliant on mystical traditions rather than the mystical path rather than the religious path. I guess that's a better way of saying it. And so that was my journey through, my swimming through the ocean. And then I had the people around me. Now I'm in Michigan. I moved to Michigan because 2 years ago the Spirit said, you need to move to Michigan, and told me that my father was going to pass away. And that has actually happened. My father passed away in February. But I am surrounded by people in my life, family, friends, just recently some of the people I knew from the church that I was that I was a part of, back then, that I was one of the music ministers, and I'm just recently interacting with these people more and more, and I'm able to share my story about jumping from that fundamentalist religious experience, jumping back into the ocean, which is to me represents the source of all things, really. That's what the ocean represents to me, even from an evolutionary standpoint. We have an understanding that life began in the ocean, okay? So that's what the ocean really represents to me now. And then swimming back, and now I see the lives of people who once held these very fundamentalist viewpoints in terms of spirituality. I actually can see, not because I'm doing anything, you know, well, I mean, it's because I'm here, I believe, but it's not because I'm intentionally trying to force them into a different belief. I'm just living the mystical life in front of them, and their lives are changing. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of one dream that I've had. Mm-hmm. I have probably about 20 some journals full of prophetic dreams. Not all of them are probably prophetic, but most of them are prophetic. Mm-hmm. But these are the psychic dreams or the prophetic dreams that I'm talking about. And it's very, when we're talking about the language, sometimes prophetic dreams or psychic dreams are not always for us to understand at the time. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways for me to kind of align myself with that is to really just ask Spirit, is this important? Is this something? Was this a healing dream? You know, I usually can tell if it's an encounter dream because you can usually feel the essence. Well, I don't know if I'm saying you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if everybody does this, but I can feel the essence of the spiritual mm-hmm. being that I encountered usually after I wake up. I can feel the vibration around me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I would refer to as prophetic dreams. I do think that prophetic dreams, sometimes they bring about omens. I'm not too big on omens because I really feel like in this culture we are scared enough. We need to stop focusing on things just to scare us more. You stop being so panicky, and I mean you can't hear Spirit if you're in a state of panic anyway. So just stop it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when I did an internet query about prophetic dreams and the history of prophetic dreams, of course we talked about the encounters of Queen Mahamaya and Joseph, Mary, those types of prophetic dreams. The story of Joseph and the story of Daniel in ancient Hebraic literature, they're actually the best historical examples of prophetic dreams because Joseph actually didn't know the full meaning of his dream until it actually took place. And I had a fundamental understanding when I had these dreams, but I didn't have a full understanding until, you know, I'm actually walking through it and it's taking place now. So that's, I mean, it's interesting because we title the show. It's almost like we throw out the hook here. We title the show "The Language of Dreams," and then we you know say things like, yeah, and the language is going to be different depending on what you know how you feel about things and what. So we're really not giving you know really intrinsically. I feel that they're valuable answers, but the thing with your spiritual path, with your psychic path, with your intuitive path, and the mystical path is that this is your journey. This is, you know, I have my own journey. I'm walking on my own journey. I encourage you to do the same. There are plenty of advisors on Star Psychic Networks that can actually aid in your progression in terms of your own journey and help you understand, qualities of what's going on, qualities of the things that are going on in your life right now, things about the future. There's many advisors on the line that are able to help people attain information and understanding about the future as well. So I'd just encourage you, you know, if you're really struggling or you have a question, please, you know, use that as a resource to help you gain greater understanding. And that was kind of, I did the prophetic dreams and I also gave my conclusions, but I'm going to go ahead and pass on to you so that you can talk about prophetic dreams and then also give your conclusion as well.
Well, I'm only going to say a couple of things. First off, yes, that's the reason it was written the way that it was written. You know, yes, you can read the books. Yes, there's different definitions, and people are going to tell you this, and people are going to tell you that, but you're going to find your own language. And bottom line, you will find your own language. Secondly, don't worry about being kicked out of church. I was kicked out of church because I asked too many questions. The next thing would be the water. Water does represent emotions, so that would explain to me about your father and so forth and so on. Prophetic dreams I have had since I was 5 years old, and that's what ended up getting my father to the point where he took me to a psychiatrist for a year, because everything that I kept seeing happen and told him that I've seen happening actually happened. So people thought I was rather odd, but they are very real. And they do take place. Now, the thing I have found with prophetic visions is, if you have a prophetic dream, does not mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen in 5 minutes. You don't know when it's going to happen. Or this has been my experience. When you have a prophetic dream, it'll happen. But you don't know when it's going to happen. Unless they show you, unless you see during that time period of, you know, a set of quotation marks as to this is when it's going to happen. But they are very real, and they do take place. And yes, again, I'm going to say there are books you can read. There are people that you can talk to. There is, you know, the basics of certain things, meanings to dreams and so forth. But, again, go by what you feel. Because that is going to be your language. That's how the universe, your guides, how everything spiritually is going to talk to you. So you're going to need to understand it. And the sooner that you begin your own language and you understand it, you're going to be amazed at how much information through your dreams is going to pick up and start coming through. And to say my goodness, I thank James for having the topic, because I do like this topic very much so. Thank you, Natalie, for hosting. Thank you, everybody in the room. And thank you for everybody who will possibly listen to this at a further date. I think it's a very interesting topic. I think it is a very, it's a key. It's one of the keys to spirituality and one of the keys to an individual's personal growth. It's something that you can use, like we said, a gateway. And with that, I will go ahead and give it to Ms. Natalie.
Can I interject really quick? Because there was something that you said that I feel is very important when we were talking about prophetic dreams. I want to mention really quick that the prophetic dream that I shared with you took place over the course of 10 years.
Wow.
So I do want to point out what you had said is that it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen tomorrow. Right. And that is, and I just want to confirm that that is very true. And I also want to say, hey guys in the chat room, I love you guys. Thank you for listening in. The people who will listen, again, I want to thank you. And Cheyenne, I definitely want to thank you. I want to tell everyone, Cheyenne and all of the people in the room, I love you. I appreciate you listening in, and we're just glad to have you. And then now I'll pass it on to Natalie, whom I love as well.
Well, of course you love me, but you know, I just want to interject something here that my husband comes into my dreams all the time, and I typed in the room that the latest one that had the most effect on me was he was like up high. It was like an incline. I mean, I looked up and I saw him there, and I was thinking to myself, I'm never going to be able to climb this. So what does he do? He starts to walk down. You know, gives me his hand. And I grab it, and he starts to pull me up.
Pull you up?
So to me that means I'm helping you. I will help you. You can do it. You can get to what you think you can't get up there, but you will get up there. You know, yeah. And basically I base it on my sight, the sights that I have, and you know it's not easy having what I have, and I'm always looking and always searching. And I think that meant a lot to me, that he's showing me that he's helping me.
Yeah.
See?
I believe
that. That's a good thing. Yes.
And the other one was on, I typed in the room that we were at a threshold in a doorway. He was on one side and I was on the other. And he reached out and gave me a hug. Now, he didn't step over that threshold, and neither did I. And I knew it was him. And I mentioned it to Maya Moon, and she said, well, I feel he got special permission to do that. Probably you were in a state that you needed that, and he
That's
went
right.
to whatever they do, go to council or whatever it is. I need to do this for her. I need to let her know I am here. And those two things in the dreams have stuck with me now, and that's it's a beautiful thing. It really, really is. But anyway, I want to thank everybody, of course, for coming in the room, and we have to acknowledge them before we close the show. We have, of course, you know, Priestess Candy's in there, and we have Stars Aeneas. We have Stars James is in there, too. He's going back and forth. And Stars Mystical Waters and Stars Ruby Ann. And we had quite a few guests in here, and I think it's wonderful, the support that we're getting. You know, it really, really is. The topics are wonderful. We've got them all set up till the end of the year, and towards the end of this month, we'll start thinking about January and February because it makes it so nice. And, of course, James and Cheyenne, you guys are just wonderful. You always give me a lot of information and maybe stuff that I already knew but really didn't pay attention to, if that makes any sense, kind of.
Yeah,
but when you hear somebody that you regard highly, it means more. It's more meaningful to you, and that's how I feel about the two of you. So with that, I'm going to close the show, and I love you both very, very much, and we'll do this again next week, and we have a really good show next week, and you'll just have to wait and see when I post it what it's all about. Aren't I being sneaky? Okay, love you guys. Love everybody in the chat room, and see you next week.
Love you.
Too.
Good night.
Night.